B-Pod Studios.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop flop flop.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Well, even though those All-Star games are, you know, just glorified pickup games in a lot of ways, I think, you know, just being able to run up and down, move a little bit, get ready. We play next Thursday in Milwaukee. And, you know, if you're not able to do that for now going on 2 weeks or 12 days, it's not as advantageous. So if he can, even if he can move a little bit, if he is cleared to play, especially if he was, you know, fully 110% healthy, then I would encourage him to run.
So you have no problem if you're playing it. I mean, and you coached in this game, so you're around
looking,
it.
I'm looking at it more, Scott, from the standpoint of all of our guys have to do something physically when we can't be with them over the next week because of the NBA rules. So, like, they're all going to have to do something. And so, to me, moving up and down the court, if you can do it, is a positive.
Brad Stevens with us a couple minutes ago here on Zolak and Bertrand. What'd you make of the Kyrie stuff?
Sounds like he's going to play.
I think he knows he's going to play.
Yeah, and I think it's unique for him because he's been around it where this game is important for whatever reason to that league.
Spins.
And he's got to work out anyway, guys, so why not have it be on a basketball court instead of...
Here comes the spin job.
Yeah.
Here it comes. No, it's going to be a good thing that he misses the two games before the All-Star break.
Did you make it, Hardy?
I don't know if he knows that he's going to play.
Maybe he just knows the guy well enough to know which way this is going to go.
I think he knows that it's a distinct possibility. And, you know, yeah, okay. I don't think of the fact that these guys have to remain active and that the coaching staff has to remind the players, look, you just don't get to sit around and eat and do whatever you want for the next week.
Can't you tell your staff, let's not clear him here? Two? Like, I played for a guy in Bill Parcells to get hurt on your own time. Just because he says you're hurt, you ain't hurt.
I think it's brilliant. He just cut off any controversy.
Yep.
He got ahead of it.
I mean, you don't have to believe him.
I don't think he really, truly knows how he's going to feel on Friday. But say Kyrie feels great and they tell him go play. There's nothing Brad can do.
He just bought some stock. He got ahead of it, though, too. He's sticking up for his guy.
He's doing his job. I don't blame him.
Smart.
He's doing what everyone over there has to do for Kyrie between now and then, you know, July 1st.
See, we look at it differently, too. Like, get your feet up, rest, right? No, seriously. Like, we're regular humans. Get off your feet, rest for 2 weeks. You come out like gangbusters. He can come out sluggish and slow. Like, they want these guys to move around. That's part of it as a coach, too. So I just think he's balancing it right there. He got ahead of it. He knew it.
He's getting, as Hardy said, which is probably the best way to look at it.
He coached in it too, so he knows how important it is for these guys to play.
Whether it happens or not.
He knows those guys want to play in this game. They're going to do everything they can to play in this game with their guys, with their boys. They know they want to play. So he's seen it.
Yeah, he gets to be on the court with Durant at the same time.
Yeah.
See how that goes.
Whew. It's almost a game you can't wait to watch. All that talent.
Yeah, well, Giannis picked like 12 centers on his team, so it's going to be a mismatch.
Mm. No, it certainly...
What's the name of that freak from last night, Jim?
Boban? That guy's great. Love that guy.
He picks it up and puts them down.
He doesn't have to jump. He just reaches up to get rebounds.
What's his nickname? Lurch? Put it right on his back.
He's 7'4", 7'5".
Weirdo.
They showed that last night. They don't show like the far basket all that often during free throws, but Embiid was down there at 1.2 with his fingers looped through the net. Just kind of his arms weren't even like fully extended. He was just standing there like.
It's like us playing on a 7-foot rim.
It's impressive that he still can shoot and move the way he does, but it's also less impressive when you realize, oh, he's right there. he's right there. Now, Beetle, I think he's setting himself up for the real possibility that Kyrie plays this weekend, yeah. But there is...
And setting himself up to completely check out of it and have nothing to... Is not going to get involved in the fray.
Yeah, like Jim said, it's...
And he's standing up for his guy.
I mean, when you're working your way back from an injury like that, is that really what the training staff would have Kyrie be doing? Going out there and playing in an all-star game?
Here would be my question back. Oh, he needs to go run? Well, put him on a treadmill in Boston.
Band work.
Not on a court with other players in Charlotte.
Send him TB12.
Like, oh, he needs to run. Good. Put him out on your practice facility in Brighton with a trainer from your team.
Yeah, a little shoot around, a little move around. Hey, we'll rebound. You go over there, get your spot.
Can't that do the trick, or does it have to be an all-star game?
He's only the most important player on your team who hasn't been able to go recently.
He knows this is a delicate balance with this guy. You're right. And he got ahead of it.
He's doing his job.
Not just Kyrie, though. They love that all-star game.
He's good.
Right.
So we'll see. We'll see where it's going. 617-779-0985. Fred's in Norwood. Fred, take it away.
What's going on, fellas?
Hey, Freddie.
Earlier you were talking about how, or somebody called in and said, Celts have too much talent and Golden State, how do they get it figured out? It's pretty simple to me. Golden State came together at the right time. They had already got their money. They'd already made their names. And all they had to check off now was winning the title. And everybody was on the same page. I'll take a little less ball, shots, whatever, to win the title. The problem with this Celtics team is it's a mix and match of a bunch of guys. Kyrie's trying to prove he can be the guy to lead everyone to a title. Gordon Hayward's trying to prove he still belongs in the league. And all the young guys are trying to make their contracts or make their name, which comes from, you know, great individual play. Their goal might be to win a title, but for most of them, it's almost secondary, and that's the problem.
Well, it's not their main goal right now, is what you're saying. They want to win a title, they want to get there, but they've got some things they want to take care of first.
Exactly, and I think that they're putting the cart before the horse. I think if they play team ball, if they win a title, everything else comes after that. They don't have to be so focused on making their name, making their money. It's going to come, although I know if I was 20 years old in their situation, it might be kind of hard to hear and believe too. So.
Right. I mean, there are guys on that team. Good call, by the way. Thank you. There are guys like Terry Rozier, where he's focused on getting his contract figured out. Right? And he's younger, and he doesn't want to hear that right now. He's thinking about, well, I got to take care of myself before I start worrying about anything else. Got to worry about my, you know, future and my opportunities there instead of worrying. And that's where I think some of this comes from, where some of it's unavoidable. So that's a decent point. You've got guys that are pretty much on real contracts with real money in Golden State when they all put it all together. Wayne's in Yarmouth. Hey, Wayne.
Yeah, guys, we've been talking about managing the game with fewer players, and he did that last night. There were, I think, like seven guys that played 30 minutes or more, and that was the focus. So, you know, that's the continuity that this team has needed. And let's keep it going that way. What do you think?
Yeah, let's keep it going. I get nervous when I hear that, Wayne, because I think it's Wayne and Grafton.
Wayne, Grafton.
And I'm waiting for the sexual zinger at the end. And it's really not Wayne and Grafton, right, but he's got Wayne's delivery.
What he's talking about is the rotation, keep it the same way. What if everyone gets healthy? Well, then you've got Baines back, and you've got Kyrie back, and you've got more talent available to you.
So who else not tonight? Rozier?
Five guys played more than 30 minutes last night.
Five.
Not seven.
Yeah, but three guys over 20.
Okay, but they basically had a seven-man rotation last night.
Right. And Hayward was in at 28.
And we're talking about his minutes at 25.
Morris, Tatum, Horford, right. Rozier, and Marcus.
See, Clark. And I don't think at any point, too, when you get these guys back and everybody's healthy, I don't think there's going to be any pullback on Hayward's minutes because, you know, even coach said, yeah, what got lost in the weekend was he had a really good game, you know, during our collapse, starting to come around where he's starting to string games together, meaning shoot, he's gonna play more. 28 last night.
Can we take one more, or you want to,
who is it?
Yeah, I just want to take one more just because he's been waiting on Kyrie. Joe, go ahead.
Joey.
Joe and Waltham.
Yeah, thank you guys. Real quickly, my take on Kyrie, I think he's an outstanding player. That's a given. He's old school Celtics, plays both ways, passes, does the whole works. I love watching him. Quick question. Last night's game, I noticed at the end of the game, the bench was going crazy. Yeah, they won a big close game. Am I reading into something that they seemed a little more upbeat and, like, you know, high fives and all that with Kyrie out of the lineup.
No, I think it's the opponent. I think they don't like Philly.
Well, I don't know. See, I think it's fair to wonder.
Lose two in a row. You're on the road. It's time to come together. It's an opponent you know from the you learned how to play against that team in the playoffs. I think that playoff series helped them. Like, we own this. We own their ass. Let's go down there and kick their ass.
Zolak and Bertrand.
It's time to celebrate.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Gets you in the mood, doesn't it?
Sure does. I like when they do Felicity, Felicita. Joy is everywhere.
It's baseball season, sorta. Pitchers and catchers today.
Smell the hot dogs.
I still like when this happens. I still like when spring training starts.
Opening. I know you don't. I like the opening of the season.
Bleeps about it.
I like opening day. It's play long toss with each other. Put a big dip in.
I love it. You know, spring training starts. You know, spring's right around the corner. Baseball's coming back. I love the first month of baseball. Love it. That's when I really watch a lot of that first month of baseball season. I watch so much baseball, not just Red Sox games. So today you've got the manager talking. You've got Chris Sale talking. Let's start with Chris Sale. Let's work our way up to Pedroia because that's going to require a couple of minutes.
A little later.
Chris Sale on his future and staying in Boston. He was asked about that today and what he's looking for.
Chris, would you like to stay in Boston?
I would love to. I think... you know, I've said that since, you know, after my first year. This is a special place. This is a special group of people, a very special city, and an unbelievable fan base. Not to mention the fact that, you know, we got a hell of a team, and we're going to have that team for a few years to come. So, you know, it's a good place for me. It's a good spot. I love playing here. I'd love to keep playing here. And we'll see how it works out. You know, that's what all this stuff is for. You know, you have agents, contracts, all this stuff. I'm going to let them play that out. And if it works, it works. If not, it's been a blast. You know, I have no hard feelings, no ill will. And, you know, just keep doing what I do.
Well, he's handling that the right way. I got an agent for a reason. He's going to take care of it. And hopefully I get to stay here because I want to.
Yeah, I wouldn't take that as like anything bad or anything good. I just think he's frank. He puts it out there and he doesn't play games. I mean, it is what it is. I'm here to pitch, and when I'm here, I'm going to pitch.
No, but he made he didn't dance around it. He wants to stay.
Yeah.
And he hopes that that's the intended, you know, that's his intended outcome.
Doesn't sound like he's been approached.
He's not going to do it on the cheap. No. He wants to get paid.
Or should he?
And right now is not the time for him to want to get paid, and it's not the time for the team because they want to know that he's healthy. Big year for Chris Sale.
Huge year.
If there's one thing that works in the team's favor, in the Red Sox favor, if you're a fan, is that Chris Sale's going to go out and prove himself this year.
Contract year, yeah.
But a contract year that's not just a contract year, it's a healthy type of contract
More
year.
More so, yeah.
What's your future going to look like if you're Chris Sale? So I think that can only be good in terms of the kind of effort, focus, whatever you're going to get from Sale, as if that was at all lacking at any point. But that's a guy who's probably going to go above and beyond to prove himself this year. That will mean good things if he's healthy. So that's part one of today. The other part is Dustin Pedroia. Has anyone said if he's going to be ready on opening day? Has Alex Cora said that? Because I haven't heard him say it. Maybe I just have missed it and that quote's not there. But today he talked about Dustin Pedroia and how many games that he expects Dustin Pedroia will be playing for the Boston Red Sox, and I'm going to assume that this is an organizational belief.
One thing with Petey, and I told him a month ago, just relax, show up here, and then if you're going to shut the world, do it here in spring training. And we'll take care of that. It's one of those that we have to take care of him, but we have to know what we got too. So there's, you know, a fine line in between those two. He's been going through his progression. He's taking grounders. He's swinging. He's running. Now it's about workload and how we're going to manage that here. But he's not as easy as it looks because we have to know if he can play. in his mind, he will always tell you that. It's just a matter of how he reacts to the drills the next day.
It's like okay. me here.
What?
It's like me here. Just you know, get there, work, just take it easy. You know, figure out what he can do. You got to take care of me. I got to take care of you and just maybe shock the world. Just run the days together, stack them up, see what happens.
All right, so that's I misspoke and I screwed this up, and this is on me. I meant to say the organizational belief today and the number actually came from Dave Dombrowski.
Not Cora.
Not the manager, Alex
right.
Cora.
Okay, I was waiting for the number.
I want the number.
I mixed
How
it up.
How many games?
This all, is
all of this has been happening during our show today, so we're sort of catching up on
Let's go with Dumbo.
The number of games is not from Cora. It's from Dombrowski.
Well, the second base situation, I mean, Petey is, what's today? Today's the 13th, so I think he's arriving here within the next day.
Right.
He says he feels good. We're hopeful that he's a 125-game player at this point. We do feel we have some people that are solid.
Sorry. Can we back that up one more time?
Play that again.
How many games are we counting on him for?
He says he feels good. We're hopeful that he's a 125-game player at this point.
Oh, no.
We do feel we have some people that are solid that can fill in.
Solid.
To fill in, if he plays 120, guys like Holt, guy like Nunez coming over there, even some depth with the Su-Wei Lin in our organization, we like a great deal. They are also capable of playing more games, that combination, but we're hopeful that Petey will be the guy, the main guy.
All right. So I would say to... to Dave Dombrowski, you felt you needed to add a guy last year when you went and got Ian Kinsler. You can't bank on Dustin Pedroia for 120 or, as he said, 125
He went 125 and then he went 120.
Yeah, two totally different approaches.
But two totally different approaches. You got the manager saying, take your time. I told Justin, come here, enjoy yourself, ease your way into it. Shock the world if you have to, blah, blah, blah. It seems like zero expectations right now from Cora. Shock the world? Shock the world is not... you know, coming to camp, all of a sudden think you're going to play 20 games.
Dustin Pedroia
playing 104. That's shocking.
Is going to turn 36 this summer. He's going to turn 36, and he's got a knee that has been just chronically injured.
Did that same guy say that?
And Dave Dombrowski told us that his knee has a bad knee, and it will never be right again. I mean, we're talking about microfracture. We're talking about things that are, honestly, at this point, still experimental in nature. They have not really figured out microfracture to the point where you get back and you don't have to think about it anymore. Look at Steven Wright. He's a huge question mark with the same type of thing. So, and I should say this, microfracture, yeah, if you're going to be just an average person, I'm sure you can live no problem. Being a Major League Baseball player has proven to be different. Dustin Pedroia was able to come back for three games last year when they expected him to make a full return in May. Played three games and never played again. It wasn't ever close. How could you reasonably expect him to come back at the age of, again, 35, going on 36, multiple knee surgeries, multiple procedures, thinking that you're going to get 125 games out of him? Honestly, I don't think it's fair to the player, although the player has got sort of that bulldog mentality, so he's not going to accept anything but I don't know. I think that number is wildly inflated.
Optimistic.
Oh, yes. Dangerously optimistic. What do you think Pedroia has been doing, by the way, you know, getting ready for the season? Alex Cora gave us some insight into that today.
For everything I hear, for everything I've seen as far as like videos and obviously the texting, the back and forth and having conversations with him, he's ready to roll. He actually, believe it or not, and you believe it, he took ground balls with full unit the other day, the World Series uniform. He took ground balls with that. I was like, you're nuts, right? You're like, yeah. So whatever. Yeah. But he'll be here, I think it's tomorrow or the next day. And for everything he say and everything Brad and the medical staff have told me, he's been able to bounce back from every challenge in the offseason.
Point of reference, the actual uniform itself.
It was, yeah.
The road one in Dodger Stadium?
The World Series unit, yeah. I saw the patch, yeah. Yeah. The blue top, yeah. Yeah.
So Pedroia took his uniform from the World Series.
Tool bag.
Put the uniform on.
Tool bag.
Filmed himself taking ground balls and then sent it to the manager.
Yeah.
To let him know that he's ready.
See, I like this about Pedroia. He didn't show up when they're wearing shorts. He said this a long time ago. When are you going to spring training? When we wear pants, when it's time to go to work. I don't show up a week early or a month early and jog around.
He's a little hard ass.
Do jumping jacks. Yeah. Yeah, he is. He's
a badass.
He's a bit of a hardo.
Yeah, badass.
Do you want him on this team at all?
If he's healthy and can contribute?
I'm asking Zoe.
I don't really care because they've won without him. Like, I don't think he helped them win last year, obviously.
You still blocked by him on Twitter?
Yeah.
Does he still have Twitter? I don't think he does.
He doesn't operate his Twitter. Who cares? Who cares who blocks him?
Defensively, he's their best option at that position.
I don't think he has a Twitter account anymore.
Defensively, he's the best option. He's it.
Holt's pretty good, man.
Know though? We don't know how his knee is.
I don't know how he is anymore.
Holt surprised me at the end of the year. Really did. And he plays in those type of big games and never
falls. We know who definitely isn't the best defensive option. That's our boy Nooney.
Jelinek?
He's all over the place.
Well,
I mean, incredible dives.
Different style.
He really flashes the leather around. Nunez. 617-779.
I'll take Pedroia. I mean, up until a year ago, before they won the World Series without him, I was, and not a lone voice in this, I was one of many who'd say, you give 25 guys who take the attitude that Pedroia has.
Well, that's different.
And you win 100-plus games every year. And if he feels physically that he's back and the team looks at him as physically being back, yes, you have him on the team. He's your second baseman.
Do they pose a threat?
98.5, the Sports Hub.
We have people like Barnes, Brazier. We're looking that we both think have the abilities to do so. Thornburg has been a good closer in the past. We'll see how he is in the spring. His health is fine. We'll see if he can bounce back. Nobody has really seen to me Tyler Thornburg that was out there before he joined in Milwaukee. I know everybody's critical of the situation. I understand how the things go, but this guy was a really good pitcher. He's healthy. He feels great. Steven Wright's a possibility of a guy. He is depending upon how his health is. So we feel we have some internal options to go ahead and do that. And of course, we'll still keep an eye on what's taking place outside the camp, but we think our answers come from within.
Hold on. Did I just... That answer was about the closer situation, was it not?
Yep.
Is Steven Wright going to close for the Red Sox?
Thornburg in the eighth, Wright in the ninth.
Oh, my God.
A fun
what
year.
What the hell?
I would love it.
Steven Wright?
Oh, I love it.
Steven Wright.
Hell yeah.
Why not?
Remember when Wakefield closed for a time?
Oh, I love that.
H.C. a knuckleball. Since I don't know when, I'd throw stones at it.
Not taking 12 minutes in between pitches. Just get the ball and throw it. Get the ball and throw it.
Let's get out of here.
1999, Wakefield had 15 saves. What is that noise?
He's playing.
What are you doing?
It's his thing.
Oh, my God. Please.
I feel like we need a desk in here with a teacher's drawer. Just things that
yes,
put away.
Don't put that stuff.
Steven Wright is going to say he's going to close. Right? Yeah, okay, all right. Tyler Thornburg. I understand why people are critical of it. Yeah, Dave, do you think that's because of the ERA of 5.63 last year in his 25 appearances? Do you think that was because maybe he didn't play at all in 2017? Tyler Thornburg, come on, give me a break. Alex on the South Shore with some commentary on the Red Sox. Alex.
Yeah, it was on Pedroia. I can't recall any Boston athlete that has fallen so far in the court of public opinion as far as Boston fans go. As I used to love his the dirt dog.
Yeah,
mentality of it. But now I look at the situation last year, and now I just look at a guy that is obviously he's just done. He had no real input at the team last year. In fact, they won in spite of him, I feel like. And now he's trying to implement himself wearing that World Series jersey. Like, come on, dude.
What are you talking about in spite of him?
Well, that's why they got rid of Hanley, right?
He didn't play last year. He barely played.
I understand what you're saying, the presence is there, and there have been questions about how do the young guys take to him.
Right.
Well, I feel like at this point, Dustin Pedroia is playing for himself. He knows he's done. Everyone knows he's done. As long as he doesn't retire, he gets that contract, and I feel like that's the only reason why he's returning to training camp. And I feel like the Red Sox, as a management group, should really think about trying to buy out his.
It's a hell of a number.
No, they can't buy him.
So many years left on that. Nobody wants him with that
number. The money's guaranteed. He's getting the money either way, whether he plays or he's done due to injury. But I believe in order to make that the case, you've got to keep playing to the point where they tell you you're not playing anymore.
I don't know. I mean, what's this feels like?
He's got to show up.
But what does that mean? I feel like they want, in spite of him being there. It's just, why?
Well, it's not like it's panned or there's a bad influence.
Why? Because I think 2 years ago, there were a lot of issues in that clubhouse that have been well documented. A lot of those issues had to do with young players, and I think a lot of it had to do with the manager. And I don't know what his role was in all of this.
People question his leadership. Remember, I'm the one standing here answering questions. There was stuff being said. I mean, there is a cuteness about throwing your jersey on and going out there and taking grounders and doing things.
Like, and he defended.
That's the attractive thing about him.
You know, he sort of defended the actions
sort
of David Price in the whole Dennis Eckersley deal.
Right. Yeah.
And so what did we say when that happened? We said, wow, this guy can't be a good influence on anybody if he thinks that's what it is to act like a professional. Now, that was two seasons ago, and he still was around all of last season. And we'd be lying, Hardy, if we didn't say on this show and others, what's he doing here?
I think it takes.
We did. We said it all last year before we knew they're going to end up winning it all.
Right. Anybody who's not playing, what are they doing there? But I think it shows you something about the guy who still wants to remain invested in it. He's got to swallow his pride a little bit, come back. They've gotten to this point.
But he's got to show up to get paid.
They've got an historic number of wins without me being here, but I want to be there for it anyway.
Oh, you mean last year?
Last year.
Right now, he's got to show up to get paid.
But you understand what
he's
got
to make an effort to play.
Yeah, and the caller is saying that the perception on the players changed. That's all he's saying.
So it's not about buyout. This is what needs to happen. If they get to the point where Dustin Pedroia obviously cannot continue his career, what are the Red Sox going to do? Just continue to put him on the DL? Or at some point are they going to say, you know what, we're going to just release you and we got to pay you? Right? I mean, they're going to have to pay him either way. They're on the hook for it.
He's obviously not a problem to have around. He's friends with the manager.
That's true.
He's given his team a lot.
Last year proved that he did not get in the way of them winning.
Right. Now, in a way, I feel bad for him because he sort of built this. You know, he's part of that at the beginning. It's be like giving Edelman some huge extension, him breaking down, just having him try and make it each and every year and watch the sadness of it. Like, you really don't want him here, but we got a contract that dictates he has to be here, and I don't know. I understand what the caller's saying. Like, you fell in love with the player, and then there was a period there where he started to turn a little bit. Not really the type of leader that you thought he was. And now he's trying to get back into the mix.
He's a lead-by-example guy, and he thinks that should be enough, but it's not in some circumstances. Fine. You need, like, a clubhouse guy. But the fact is, though, I don't think it is a matter of, we don't even want this guy around, but we got to pay him anyway. At second base, they do want him around. If he's healthy, that's who they want.
Oh, my God. If he could really give you 120 games, that's huge. I mean, that's exactly
what
you want.
And his level of defense, then he's the guy.
But like you said, where Cora said, I got the video sent of him in his little World Series uniform taking the grounders out. Like, how many actual players on the team that are coming back, the young guys? Look at that and just roll the eyes and like, look at this guy. This is what we got
to
do.
What would you rather have? A veteran coming back who had nothing to do with you winning last year and then just rolling in expecting to be treated like part of it, even though he had nothing to do with it? Or a guy who's invested in it and into it and might be a bit of a hard-o for some of their tastes, but you know what? You can't doubt this guy's commitment to it.
No.
He wants to be here. He wants to play. He wants to win.
There's a cuteness and an affinity and an affection for that. You like that. That's what you like. That's what's endearing about the player, his want to play. And that's where it kicks you back to the early days. That grinder. Remember when he was hurt, his foot was in a boot? When Ellsbury and all them were here and they were hurt front and back, checked the MRI. And there's Pedroia out there on his knees taking grounders. Where was that at? Up in Toronto at the time? I think so. But yeah, it's just like those things. You remember those things about him.
They give.
Give it to me. Give it to me. Give it to me now, damn it.
Tell me I'm wrong. I don't know how you could.
And they give.
We need to break news every day.
And they give.
I love breaking news.
Can't get this kind of analysis just anywhere.
And now, it's time to take.
That's not a hot take.
End of the day.
Hot takes from the day.
Today's takeaways with Zolak and Bertrand.
on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right, this one's for all you people not in the Boston area. Today's takeaway is brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. If you're not close to us, you are close to an Awaken 180 location. Believe it or not, the worldwide program offers the same great results from wherever that you live. Online, check it all out at awaken180weightloss.com.
So, go. What's your takeaway?
Well, I'm Russian, somewhat, part Russian, and this story pops up.
How much Russian you got in
here? I don't know, a little bit. I'm Eastern European, you know, a little mix. I'm a mutt. I'm Russian Orthodox, though.
Yeah, you need to do the 23andMe.
So you know the whole, yeah, the 23andMe.
Get the whole DNA breakdown you're from.
Jones had this morning, and Jones is big on the whole bears versus shark thing. Well, there's this Arctic town in East Russia is being taken over by polar bears, and they're blaming it on global warming, actually. 52 new bears that have never been sighted before are roaming the streets in this seaside town. People pushing strollers, leave them outside restaurants and bars. And there's big-ass, huge polar bears, along with their cubs, just walking up and down the streets. They're actually calling it an occupation. They're actually occupying this town.
What do the strollers factor into this again?
Because here's pictures of just, there's baby strollers, like a normal street, and there's a restaurant, and there's a baby stroller left outside, and there goes about a 4,000-pound bear just walking right past.
So there's no baby in the stroller.
No baby in a stroller. I wouldn't put the baby out there.
4,000-pound bear?
Whatever the thing is. It's a big sucker, right? That's a big bear.
It ain't a two-ton polar bear.
Two-ton polar bear. Whatever. Two-ton polar bear.
Other animal news today, Zoe.
Yeah.
Did you see the stolen monkey is back at the zoo in Palm Beach?
I love this stuff. My kids are actually probably going to go to the Palm Beach Zoo next week.
Collie, the shaggy one-pound monkey that was snatched from its enclosure at the Palm Beach Zoo.
How little is that monkey?
On Monday, 1 pound. Little tiny baby monkey.
It's a little monkey.
Yeah. It's very rare.
Spanky.
Yeah. It's a Goldie monkey. I've never heard of that one, but requires medication, has some sort of inflammation problem.
The monkey's got controlled mental state.
The monkey
state that
was
needs to be
stolen
medicated.
On Monday. They got the monkey back this morning. So the monkey is back and back on its medication. And apparently, these monkeys, these Goldie monkeys, are very popular in the illegal pet trade.
Ooh. Are these the ones like any hangover?
And because this was a female, as far as breeding is concerned, this monkey has a high value, upwards of $10,000.
Jesus. You ever been to Monkey Jungle down in South Florida?
No, I haven't.
It is.
Is it gorillas or monkeys?
Be careful. The old Mikey Adams story about the monkey that slings its own poo, they have some of those down there.
There was one that we went to when we were kids. It was called Noel's Ark, I believe.
And they have to put a certain netting up so the poo doesn't hit you.
Well, the video that Zoe always goes to when he gets sick of doing this show is the one where the raccoon gets into the gorilla enclosure at the zoo, and the gorillas throw the raccoon around the the enclosure, and the raccoon tries to get away, sees this little hole that it tries to run into, and the... And they're grabbing it right back out by the tail, and they fling the raccoon.
Those gorillas, they allow it to get like halfway in the hole just to mess with it, and they grab its tail, and they fling it out, and like, here, you catch it.
Polar bears top out around 1,000 pounds, though.
That's a big bear.
Females can be 1,100 if they're pregnant, but
big bear.
Not 4,000. The doctors will tell them that's not all cup weight. You know, you got to drop some of that. That's not an excuse just to loaf, eat fish all day. You got to keep moving, all right?
It's a wild scene. Hungry polar bears and their cubs rummaging through a landfill, even wandering down a hallway. In this small Arctic town, they've counted at least 52 bears. Russian officials have declared a state of emergency, saying locals have been attacked. With sea ice disappearing, the endangered animals are spending more time on land.
We've seen definite trends in certain parts of the Arctic where polar bears are congregating in ways that we have not seen before.
In Russia, killing them is a crime. So now, a plan to scare away these out-of-towners and get rid of the garbage so the bears don't wander back looking for a snack.
Biggest surprise in that story is Russia has laws, specifically laws against killing animals.
So you can't kill the polar bears,
really?
But the bears can maul you.
That's interesting.
Not a
I wouldn't have expected that.
How would you scare off a polar bear, Beetle?
I wouldn't. I'd just stay inside. There's no scaring a polar bear.
You dress up like a samurai, because let me tell you something. From years of playing Tekken, Kuma is no match for Yoshimitsu. You take Yoshimitsu out there, he'll scare off that polar bear. He knows better.
I was going to play you the Brad Stevens answer again. I'm going to skip that because, Hardy, I want to get to what you've got.
Yeah, Kyle Van Noy dropped a nice one on us here today. Just, you know, a word that you're not allowed to say, but he was feeling very loose with us earlier.
Bad language.
What's going on, baby? We back.
Yeah, don't forget where it all got started. I know you're everywhere now.
You've gone Hollywood. I see you all over the place now. ESPN, NFL Network, Barstool,
Pizza Review.
You're all over the place.
Hey. It happens.
Yeah, don't dump that.
Don't dump that. Let everyone hear that on the radio. I want to get the FCC over here. Tom Calvinoy.
Pull up in our SEC truck.
But he's not going to call for a while, he said. He's going to give everybody some time off. He wants everyone to miss him. He's got a good showbiz sense, Kyle Van Noy. He knows what he's doing. Mm.
Do you know what I think was sort of lost on Zoe today is Kyle Van Noy mentioned that he was going away for the offseason back home to Santa Monica.
Right.
And it all sort of comes full circle because Santa Monica being the song that, you know, was played when, you know, the paradise.
And then tonight,
jumping off the stage.
You and I are at the paradise for Jim Blossom
tonight. I don't know if everyone had picked up on that.
I love that venue. I love that club. It's a shame you
can't. I can't wait to see the good people over there tonight.
Shame you can't join us, though. Jim Blossom's put on a phenomenal show. It's going to be great tonight.
How much did she get in that lawsuit?
I don't know.
You're not allowed to talk about it.
What?
He's not allowed to talk about it.
Is there a non-disclosure there?
Sure there is.
We had a good night.
We only had four drinks. Four. Fourth quarter.
Gotta get your story
Roger
straight.
And Maz are coming up next.
Who took my shirt?
We're back tomorrow at 10 a.m. Have a great day, Zoe.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.